Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 51. Marksman. The taste of shine was bitter on Renata's tongue, telling her she'd taken far too many breaths of the stuff. She hadn't slept a wink in close to 30 hours, and it was already well into the early morning. But if everything went according to plan, that lack of sleep would be a non-issue on the day of the attack. Besides, it's not as though she would have been able to get any sleep in their bed, not when Seraphine wasn't there with her, not when her wife was suffering. In the corner of her office, an old sonograph was playing the first act of a particular opera, and the song was a constant reminder. It was her wife's favorite, and played it so often that the sound of it had become soothing simply because it evoked her presence. Painful as the reminder was, Renata needed any source of focus she could get to stay sane. She massaged her temple, sighing heavily as she turned over the next series of reports from the firelights confirming the clan's presence at Stillwater. They weren't even disguising it anymore, apparently, with a considerable number of the clan thralls being seen on the prison rooftop setting up some complex piece of hex technology. Whatever they were doing, they were clearly almost ready to do it, which meant that her people had to keep to their timetable. They had just over a day and a half left to handle things, and then they were going all in. She trusted Jinx to come up with a way to render the prison itself a breachable object. She trusted Lux to be able to refine that into a plan, as well as procure the necessary resources to make that plan the nearest thing to foolproof. Echo would serve his purpose as he always did, as would the Noxian, since they were committed to this effort now as well. That left her to solve the most difficult problem, how to deal with Pharos and her murderous little doe. Renata was certain that Camille had availed herself of the technological improvements developed during the war. Her bionics were undoubtedly grades higher than her last report suggested, especially if that girl, Ren, was anything to go by. According to Lux, Ren Gleamspire had proved to be nearly as deadly as the Steel Shadow herself was purported to be during the Battle of the Sungate, being able to keep up with not only Lux under her own magical enhancements, but also Jinx, who was one of the most thoroughly chem-hanced human beings on the planet. Not only that, but she'd taken both at the same time and nearly won. A few puffs of shine were not going to be enough. Victor had developed more of his exosuits, one of which had been handed over to Lux, who had apparently decided to take it for a dry run topside last night, and it had proved to be quite effective. But it wouldn't be enough. Ren could feel it in her gut that it would not be enough to take down Camille. Ren was a coin toss. Even if the girl had all the same implants, she would lack the decades of real combat expertise that Camille possessed. Camille was going to be the sticking point. She didn't get tired, didn't wear down, never lost power, and could kill for days before needing to resort to actual maintenance, meaning she was more or less a one-woman army if she wanted to be. That killing potential would be on full display the day of the attack, because Camille would have no more compunctions about stepping into the line of fire. Sarah. Renata whispered the name, and it brought an ache to her heart as she set the report down and buried her face in her hands. A knock came at her door, and she looked up to find Chuck cracking it open.
Victor is here to see you, sir.
Good.
Renata sat up and composed herself.
Bring him in.
Yes, sir.
Chuck held her gaze for a moment, but wisely chose to say nothing as he pushed the door open and stepped aside to allow the machine Herald of Zaun to enter her office. He was unmasked, which served only to highlight just how much of his humanity had gone missing during his experiments. His irises of his black pinned eyes glowed like superconductive gold, and his armor seemed to thrum with a life all its own. Renata still didn't know what to classify him as, alive or dead, human or machine, because he forever seemed to straddle the lines of mortality.
Can I assume you received the specifications I sent you last night along with the materials?
Renata said, more than asked, as Chuck closed the door, leaving them to their privacy.
I did,
Victor replied as he drew out a long metal box and set it down on her desk with a heavy thump.
I'm must say I have never worked with such a material before. But the hex core moves all things. I'm curious about exactly what you gave the Noxians to convince them to part with something like that, though.
Renata chuckled.
Would you believe I didn't have to give them anything?
She asked.
It was property of House Naradi, and in the possession of the Grey Legion. Lady Naradi handed it over without question when I told her what I needed it for. Interesting.
Victor nodded thoughtfully, then sat down in the chair across from Renata, turned the box toward her, and pushed it forward. Reaching out, Renata released the latch, then opened it and looked over what was contained within. A long-barreled, heavy revolver crafted from sleek, mist-colored metal, which could be found in no natural place on Runeterra, rested on a velvet bed within, and just being close to it gave Renata the chills. She had the impression that if she were to touch that gun, it would freeze her fingers to the bone. The grip was fashioned from dark, polished ivory, and the trigger manifold was custom-fit to her finger, and as a final flourish, six letters were engraved along the barrel. A name.
Does it do what we agreed?
Renata asked.
Before I answer that,
Victor began,
know that I created that weapon more as an experiment and a challenge to myself. It goes without saying that no one should ever actually fire that thing.
Renata drew the gun out of its case with her prosthetic hand, and it, unsurprisingly, fit her grasp perfectly. Alarmingly, though, it was cold to the touch. She could feel it even through her prosthetic.
Explain the side effects,
she said as she turned the gun this way and that in her grip, looking over its enormity. Victor stared at her in silence for a moment before sighing and saying,
as agreed, that gun is made from metal carved off of the Iron Revenant's own armor. Armor that drains the vitality of anything near it. And the gun retains these qualities such that the drone I used to test fire it went inert after one shot and I had to scrap it. Based on the readouts, though, I would conjecture that firing it would probably kill its wielder outright. If it did not, I would wager it would take most of the remaining years of their life from them, and I do not imagine the quality of the years it leaves behind would be anything to write home about.
Is there any way to resist the effects?
Theoretically, yes,
Victor replied.
Something which is not alive, or at least mostly organic, but still possessed of strong animus, such as Orianna or Blitzcrank or even myself, technically speaking, could fire it more than once.
He waved his hand as if dismissing the idea.
But the entropic effect would still eventually sap whatever animating force keeps the wielder moving. It would kill even me.
Renata nodded.
What if they were chem-hounds with Shinner?
She asked.
Like Jinx.
Victor made a pensive noise in the back of his throat like a crackle of static.
Truthfully, I'm not sure. Shinner is mutagenic and resists magical influence, but that is purely theoretical. Lady Light would never allow her wife to test fire that weapon for the sake of science.
But the theory is sound.
Renata pressed.
Yes, Miss Glask, the theory is sound.
Well, she had made gambles on less stable foundations than sound theory from one of the foremost minds in the field of hex technology. Furthermore, if simply firing this gun would be enough to kill or at least seriously harm even the Machine Herald himself, then it would certainly do the same to Camille if she was shot with it, which meant she had one piece of the puzzle completed. Flipping the gun around, Renata slid it into the holster on the inside of her jacket and said,
in your professional opinion, could this gun kill an aspect?
Victor stared at her for several moments, perhaps trying to determine whether or not she was joking or if she'd simply gone insane. Renata wasn't sure which one he eventually settled on, but whatever the case, he finally said,
the aspect? No, obviously not. An aspect is not and has never been truly mortal. Assuming the Camlord's theory is sound, they are merely sentient masses of arcane, but the host, maybe. Some hosts are more aspect than mortal, others vice versa, but I can assure you that the gun will wound them.
How can you be certain?
Renata asked. Gesturing at his own body, Victor smiled thinly as he said,
if you were to hit me with a flamethrower, most of my body would ignore it, but what is left of my flesh would not. Hosts are an amalgam. And so even if you cannot harm the aspect, you can harm the pieces of mortality they are fused to,
Which would be quite painful, I should think.
That answered that much, at least. Even before her parents' deaths, Renata Glask had never considered herself to be an optimist. As a Zonite born and bred, she had grown accustomed to dealing with the worst possible outcomes, or at least the bad endings. This was simply the way life went in the trenches. So as much as it pained her even to consider the possibility, Renata had steeled herself to go into battle against no less than a full, aspect-infused version of Camille Pharos. Obviously, it would be ideal if they could curtail that. If their attack happened on time and with the effectiveness that Renata expected from the Chemlord and her wife, then she suspected that Camille would not have time to achieve that level of control. That was not something she could afford to count on, though. The best that Renata was willing to hope for was that she could reach and kill Camille before she fully drained, and therefore killed, Seraphine. So long as Seraphine survived to the end of the battle, then whatever else happened would be acceptable losses. All that mattered was that Seraphine survived.
Good,
she said almost to herself.
That's good. Thank you, Victor. As usual, your work is punctual and impeccable. I leave to serve, Miss Glask.
Victor gave a faintly mocking bow of his head, to which Renata sneered.
I prefer sir, as Miss Glask is my wife and always will be,
Renata replied. Victor's wan humor faded somewhat, and he gave another more genuine half-bow as he said,
Of course, sir.
Standing up, Renata tucked the box containing her new weapon under her arm and nodded for Victor to follow her as she stepped around the desk and made for the door. As Victor rose to obey, falling in behind her as they stepped out into the hall, he said,
Tell me you're not planning to test fire that thing. No, naturally not,
Renata said.
Good.
Victor sighed, then asked,
You are going to fire it eventually, though? Naturally so. And how do you plan to survive it, exactly?
Victor asked.
I'll show you,
she replied. Unsurprisingly, Victor's natural curiosity kept him in tow behind her as she led them to the elevator. She punched in the key code for the lowest levels, the research floors, where her best and brightest did their dirtiest work, and the elevator immediately began to slide downward. As it did, Victor turned to her and said,
I'm curious about something else, if you don't mind my asking. Ask and we'll see,
Renata said.
The name you asked me to engrave on the gun, you do know how that fable ends, don't you?
Renata smiled thinly at him.
Of course I do.
She drew the gun from the holster and turned it so the name on the barrel was facing him, and Victor raised an eyebrow expectantly. 6 letters, 1 name, and a name of ill omen at that. Zamiel.
In the fable, the markswoman's final bullet belongs to the devil, who uses it to kill the woman's beloved. But in this case, you're missing a key piece of context. And what is that? That I am not the markswoman in this story, Victor,
she said calmly as she holstered the gun again.
I am the devil.
The elevator doors hissed open, and Renata strode out down the antiseptic white halls toward one of the most expansive surgical suites, where she tested her newest and most potent chemtech prosthetic enhancements. Victor followed, looked almost unnerved as they entered, and he froze stock still at the sight of the man who was apparently in the middle of preparing for a procedure.
Is everything ready, Doctor?
Renata asked as she walked to the far end of the room and began taking off her jacket and unclipping the holster.
It is, Singed said,
turning to regard her with that carrion crow look in his eyes as he presented a large, glowing vial filled with viscous purple liquid.
Despite the time constraints, I have managed to fabricate the closest thing to true shimmer. Thanks in no small part to your most excellent facilities, Chem Baron. I had almost forgotten what it was like to work with a budget.
And what are my odds of success?
She asked as she set her chest holster down on her folded jacket and began unbuttoning her shirt. Singed shrugged.
I haven't the foggiest. I'm not even sure why Jinx survived. In point of fact, I suspect you'll die, but that is the price of science.
Then he turns to Victor.
Of course, I've never tried this on one of your works before, so who knows?
My works.
Victor narrowed his eyes at Singed, then looked sharply at Renata.
What is he talking about? And why am I here? I'm a hex technologist, not a chemist, nor a surgeon. I had thought my question prior had made my intent obvious.
Renata replied as she shed her shirt and started unbuckling her trousers.
If I am to kill Camille Pharos, then I must be deadlier than her, so he...
She nodded to Singed.
...is going to complete my chemhancement with a full battery of shimmer infusions, while you, my dear Victor, are going to do what you do best.
She doffed her boots and her slacks, walked over to the surgical slab in the middle of the room and laid down on it. As soon as she did, restraints snapped into place, locking down her arms and legs to keep her from thrashing, and Singed moved to loom over her. Victor joined him a moment later, looking between her and his hex core, then back.
Evolution?
Victor asked, and Renata nodded.
Whatever it takes, Victor,
Renata said.
Take as much as you need to make sure I survive the infusions, because I will give whatever it takes to bring her back.
Victor's fingers curled hard around his staff, and briefly, Renata glimpsed something of the human scientist he used to be behind those black-pinned, superconductive eyes.
Whenever you're ready, I will begin, Singed said as he pulled on a pair of rubber gloves and began activating the automatic manipulators, which spooled out from the base of the slab like the legs of a mechanical spider.
I cannot promise how much of you will still be you by the end,
Victor warned. Renata gave a very slight nod, then chuckled as she said,
However much there is of me will love her as much as any other part ever could, so do it.
Closing his eyes, Victor seemed at that moment to be human again. Then it was gone. And the machine herald of Zaun turned his gaze on Renata and said,
Then you will join the glorious evolution.
Singed reached around to Renata's mask and manipulated some part of it, causing the canisters of shine to be ejected. Setting them aside, he pulled up two sets of tubing and affixed them to the now exposed ports of her mask. While he did that, Victor detached the hex core from his staff and set it floating just above her like a mechanical moon, and tendrils of biomechanical life spread out at his command like fast-growing kudzu to fuse with the surgical table and its instruments.
Ready. I always begin by modifying the internal organs first to cope with the shock,
Victor said.
Good.
Singed replied as he moved to the opposite side of the slab and leaned vulturously over Renata as a series of injectors ratcheted up to seal over her exposed arms and legs.
I'll start with the intramuscular infusions, then. Do try to remain as still as possible, Baron Glask, because this is really going to hurt.
Then he turned up one of the dials, and every single one of the injectors pressed against her fired at once. And at the same time, Renata felt the tendrils of the hex core puncture her flesh.
The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.